This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of
AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
This whole world's not an accident. It came to be by the touch of His hand. Through His love, He formed creation, then reached down and
for our reflections, we shall look at Genesis 34, verse 1 to 12.
Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor,
"Get me this young woman as my wife."
When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he did nothing about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Meanwhile, Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were shocked and furious because Shechem had done an outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. But Hamor said to them,
"My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us, give us your daughters, and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it."
Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers,
"Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the young woman as my wife."
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis 34, verse 1 to 12.
What do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Get baptized into a true Bible-believing church and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place that was brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, find there's no need to cry. This place, I feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place, heal the world.
Welcome back, dear listeners. If you just tune in, the program is Go Green. We were discussing renewable resources, part two. And today we are talking about handling waste, what we call as waste or anything that we see as waste.
We have our resource person here, Mr. Akun Kakari Uria.
And I'm your host, Jemima Essien. We are done with harvesting rainwater and how it can be done. We want to move on to another material that can be recycled. That is, other waste material that comes from us. Excuse my language, feces. Is it good or it ends just in the pit? Is there any use for it? Can anything good come out of that?
No, it doesn't end there. Let me be a bit spiritual here. God didn't create anything waste.
All right.
Everything has a use, even from what we eat. Like the Go Green advert says, from what we eat, everything has a purpose. Now, what we've eaten is good. What comes out? I don't say it's good, but it's good. Okay. It's also good. The feces that we pass out is also good.
And good in what sense?
Yes. It's good if we get the right use for it.
Okay.
And the right use is to use it for agricultural purposes.
Really?
Not only for agricultural purposes. We talked about biogas.
Yes.
So
yes.
Aside biogas, it's good for agricultural purposes. I don't know if you've experienced it before, but sometimes...
Go ahead.
Let me just say, like urine, we pass out some of our nutrients through our feces. So, like the urine, it's equally good for agricultural purposes. It also has to go through the same preparation process.
Like treatment?
Treatment.
Okay.
Okay. You have to treat it before you use it. Because when it comes to feces, it needs much more attention.
Yeah.
Compared to
urine. Okay.
Feces requires much more attention because all the bacteria, the virus, the prions can be found in abundance in the feces. So much more attention should be given to it. So there is a use, a very good use, and it can be used in the agricultural field.
Okay. It can be used in the agricultural field. In what way? How can it be used in agriculture? Do we just gather the feces and then just take it to the farm? Or in what way? How can it be used in the agriculture field?
Let me start by one. In Japan in the 12th century, they introduced the practice of reusing human excreta for agriculture, which lasted until the middle of the 19th century.
Japan?
Japan.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, farmers were buying their feces from people house to house refuse collection.
Really? In Japan?
Yes, in Japan.
So in a nutshell, it was like a form of business.
Yeah. Okay. So like we said during the urine discussion, to reduce poverty, to increase nutrition.
Yeah.
Same can be applied here. So imagine you collecting your poo and selling it. You make some amount of money. It's not weird, is it? But you pay for your feces to be collected, don't you?
Yes.
So why is it that instead of paying, now you're taking money? So that's on the lightness, but that's how it comes down. Some time ago, I heard on the news, as one of the sister stations, where it was reported that in some parts of Ghana, some assembly actually pay people to take their excreta.
Okay.
So it's something that I don't know how far they've gone with that. But this is not the first time it's being practiced. Back in the 12th century, it was practiced by Japan. China also practiced the same thing. India and Sweden.
Okay.
They practice that. But it all goes through purification process because it will be consumed at the end of the day by humans. Okay, then most of our diseases are passed through these feces. So when it comes to the human excreta, we have to store them for over 12 months. Whereas in urine, you can store them over 6 months. So it's twice that of urine.
Okay.
So when in feces, you store them over 12 months, then you can, during that period, you can be sure that most of the bacteria are dead because it will be stored under high temperature. And because of sometimes the water content, okay, if you really want to collect your human excreta, like it's being practiced in Valley View here, they designed their BBT. What's the name? The full
Mbega biological toilet.
Thank you.
Actually, it was from some Germans.
Great.
Okay.
But I'm sure some Ghanaians out there can also have a better way of doing it.
Yes.
But what the Germans did is that they have a bin. Like, in, even in Ghana here, we're doing that, except that this one is a bit modified. You know, when you go to, I don't know, the villages or even sometimes the boarding school, we have the
KVIP.
The KVIP. But this time around, there were some cans under it.
Okay.
These aluminium cans. And in the night, they said it's a female will come.
Okay.
So you just...
I think I've heard something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm. It was really mostly practiced in the village. But this time around, we use the dustbins filled with sawdust so that this sawdust can absorb the water content.
Okay.
In the excreta. And also, I don't know how it does it, but it doesn't allow you to give it bad odor.
Yeah.
So when you fill the container with sawdust to some level, place it under your...
Under the seat or under the toilet seat.
Under the toilet seat.
Okay.
You pull in it. It's collected in that. When it's full, you go, you exchange it, put the new one there. And you go keep the collected one somewhere under a closed environment. That wouldn't allow the exchange of air so that heat can be built in it. Over some time, you can be assured that some bacteria will be dead. And you don't, mostly, we don't apply it directly to the field. You take it, especially use it in compost making.
Yeah.
You gather some dry leaves, some fresh ones. You incorporate them. It also helps in the breakdown of the whole matter and also the killing of some pathogens in there.
Okay.
So you go through that process, then you use it on your field.
Your field, your big field. Okay. I think maybe that one will be dry.
Yes, it will be dry.
Okay. Feces can be used to generate power. Is it true? How? Can it be done locally in our homes?
Yes, Anita, if you were listening or if you did listen last week, feces can be used to generate power.
Okay.
Last week we talked about biogas.
Okay.
And in biogas, we use feces in doing that. So it can be done in our homes. Just simple way of doing it. Dig your hole, get a good container. Because in this situation, we advise that you seek for professional advice in the design of the container because the smell it will give out, the heat during the digestion process. So it can be done at home, somewhere. You divert your feed into it. The digestion takes place. Your gas is produced. You channel it to your kitchen or wherever you want to make good use of it. Then you have your energy source.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So it's possible. It can be done, but you need to see an expert in that field.
Anita can visit Valley View to see a sample for herself.
Okay, okay. You can come. All right, then. Mr. Kakari, your last words as we are about ending the program.
I just want to say that nothing of nature is a waste. No. Artificial fertilizers currently account for most of the nutrients needed by food crops, while human excreta contain virtually all the nutrients plants require. So now that we pay people to collect our human excreta, now people can pay us to collect our human excreta. It's just a way of packaging it well. Okay, this comes to branding. So, yes, that's what I'll say.
I want to say a big thank you to all our listeners out there and to our technician, Ali Musa Kofi Nti. You've been great and we are so thankful. Thank you so much for that.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Every baby from my heart, I like to say either I thank you. So thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We can never be but from my heart. I like to say that I thank you
for you and for me. On the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Hello, my dear listener. You are welcome to Moment of Truth. Sit back, relax, while I present to you a continuation of Dr. Kranting Pepim's sermon on Count the Cost.
Are we builders for Christ? We say Maranatha. Are we really ready for the Lord? So now what I'm going to do in this is we are going to look at the hidden assumptions why you answered the way you did. And so that's what will engage our attention for the remainder of the time. Why did you answer the way you did? And the question will be, are your assumptions biblical? That any Christian who loves the Lord will also keep all his Ten Commandments. We have also rightfully maintained that to disregard any of the Ten Commandments is to disregard them all, James 2 tells us. Furthermore, we have argued that since the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, is a transcript of God's character as reflected in the perfect life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be judged by the Ten Commandments, the moral law. And finally, we've taught that those who are going to be saved and who will have access to the tree of life are people who obey the Lord no matter what. The question is, do we really believe what we teach? Remember, I'm not talking about keeping the law in order to be saved. That is legalism. That is not the issue. Ethics is not about keeping the law to be saved. It is talking about how a saved person lives his or her life. The Bible is clear, we are saved by grace alone, we are saved by faith through grace in Christ. But the Bible is equally plain in its teaching that those who are saved by grace would also keep the law. Notice 1 John 2, 3 and 4. We do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, and he that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you say you have a relationship with Christ and you don't obey him, Jesus says, you are a liar. 1 John 5, 2, 3, 4, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The question is, do we really believe what we teach? If any of you answered yes to any of those questions, then you don't believe what we teach. That's where it boils down. And the question is, why did we answer the way we did? There are some assumptions you have embraced throughout your life without knowing. And decisions you make in life on every issue are based on these hidden assumptions. So we are going to look at the assumptions first and ask, are they biblical? And so we look at assumption number one. Okay, assumption number one. The reason many of us answer the way we did, for example, the terrorist comes to you, holds your child hostage, have sex with me or I'll kill you. Often the reason we answered yes, it's okay to do all of this is we have an assumption that basically says, I have no choice. Have you heard that phrase before? Do you know that that is a lie? We have a choice. In fact, this morning the message said, we have a choice. We are created as free moral agents. No one can force us against our will. Anything you do is because you chose to do it. It is Satan who is teaching that we don't have choice. And today we have made a science of that. We call it by different things. Behaviorism is a science that pervades in the universities. And basically it says, I had no choice. It is my environment that made me do it. I live in a poor neighborhood. That's why I steal. See, we blame the environment. And now we have made a science out of it since the 1970s. A science has come out called sociobiology. It is based on evolutionary assumptions. And basically it says the choices we make are determined by our genes, our genetic code. And the bottom line in all of this is, don't blame me, I am gay because I had no choice. I was made that way. What you don't know is built on a hidden false assumption. I was reading from Newsweek or Time magazine some time ago, the reason people commit adultery is they don't have any choice. We are made that way. We lie because we are made that way. We call it philosophical predeterminism. Friends, we all have choices. When the Bible says, choose whom this day whom you will serve, you have a choice. Even for God so loved the world, that whosoever, you have a choice. Whosoever is our first, let him come, you have a choice. We are created as free moral agents. Let no one fool you. The greatest power you have in life is the power of choice. Someone can pull a gun on your head and say, worship the idol. You still have a choice whether to or not to. The reason we say we have no choice is we are afraid of the consequences. But choice, you have. If it is clear that we have choice, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Assumption number two that leads us to make false decisions is we think that issues are not always black and white. Have you heard that before? Well, we live in a world, issues are not always black and white. See, Satan is so smart. He has painted black and white issues into 99 shades of gray. And so people say, well, there are gray areas. Friends, when it comes to right and wrong, there are no gray areas. They are either black or white, right or wrong. Let no one fool you. God has given us his 10 commandments to clearly reveal to us what is right and what is wrong. Micah 6, he has taught you, O man, what is right. Romans 1, James 2, you can go and read it. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We can always tell right from wrong. Every one of the 20 questions I gave you has a right way and a wrong way. None of the questions deserve, you know, how do you say it? Yes or no answers. It's either yes or no. And you cannot tell me that sometimes you have to choose between lesser of two evils. Every choice we make is between right or wrong. There are black areas and white areas. If that's clear, say amen. What I'm doing is I'm knocking down your assumptions because then we'll start building from there. Assumption number three. Why we answered the way we did. Some of us think we can always know the actions or the result of our actions. We seem to think we can predict the future. For example, let me use the case of the terrorist who holds your child hostage, have sex with me or I'll kill you. Many of you would choose to have sex with a terrorist because you think you want to save your child's life. But who told you that after the terrorist has sex with you, he will not kill the child? It's an assumption you make. And that assumption is built on the fact that you think you can tell the future. But only God knows the future. See, what your decision is really saying is you trust the terrorist's word that he will honor his word. If you can trust the terrorist, why not trust God? Very often, we don't trust God, we trust the terrorist. The reason we make some of these lousy decisions. Lord, you know that. Who told you that? It's an assumption. God has a thousand ways out. You cannot tell the future. Only God knows the future. And so you must trust God with your future. Don't take matters in your own hands. Lord, this young man is pressuring me to sleep with him, otherwise he won't marry me. Who said so? He can sleep with you and not marry you. So it is better to do the right thing and let God take care of the results. So don't accept this premise. In fact, the ethical word to describe this ethical system is consequentialism or teleological ethics. Basically, it says that our decisions should be based on presumed consequences. But you cannot tell what will happen in the future. And so God says, do the right thing, and I, the Lord, will take care of the results. If that's clear, say amen.
You've just been listening to Dr. Kranting Pippin's sermon. A continuation will be brought to you later. Hope you were blessed.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now. Thank you.